Well, today we are at the conclusion of our fall preaching sermon series, which has been Chosen by Mercy, Changed for Life. And we've been looking at Romans 9 through 16. Next week we'll begin our Advent series, which will be called Living in Advent. And we explore the tension of living in a world that is full of darkness while being witnesses to the dawning of the light. Well, today we are dropping midway into chapter 16 of Romans. And so I want to just summarize what happened in verses 1 through 16. So as Sue reads in verse 17, you have the context. Verses 1 through 16 is this long list of all these welcomes that Paul is greeting the church in Rome. And the 16 verses, I counted 25 individuals, 8 of which are women, and 2 households that Paul is commending for their labor in the Lord. These verses conclude verse 16 that says, greet each other with a holy kiss, and that all the churches send their greetings. So we have this vision of peace and unity, of joy that Paul is concluding his letter to the Romans with, and yet that's not quite where he ends it, because now he is going to give a word of warning and encouragement to the church in Rome. Sue, would you come read God's holy word for us?
Let's bow our heads. Please. Thank you, dear God. Thank you for this wonderful Sunday to worship you in your house. Please be with Pastor Tom as he brings the message to us so we can use it this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, I'm reading Romans 16. Verses 17 through 20. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deserve the minds of native people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so rejoice because of you. For I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Sue, for reading that this morning. Friends, if a movie producer came to you and said they wanted to make a movie of your life, what kind of genre do you think they would choose, or you would have them choose for you? Would it be a rom-com, a thriller, a mystery, a tragedy? Maybe a musical. Maybe they'd make a musical out of your life. Well, what if they came to our church service today and wanted to make a movie about this? What kind of movie would they choose? Would it be a documentary, maybe kind of slow-moving documentary? Maybe a drama of all the different people bringing different angles into the church service today? Would it be a nostalgic oldie? Maybe they'd put it in black and white? Well, I know some of you would like it to be a comedy, because you know laughter is the best medicine, and some side-splitting laughter would do your heart good. Others would like that inspirational film, you know, where the underdog, through hard work and perseverance, rises to the top and just is an inspiration to all who watch that movie. Well, I suggest that the church service, our church service today, would be in the genre of an action movie. Certainly, it would contain elements of the different genres, but central is a battle between God's people and Satan and his evil forces. The Bible says that the church is actively engaged in spiritual warfare against the world, the flesh, and the devil. So it is important today to review just the fundamentals of a strategy of war. And as I watch action films, you see a lot of bobbing and weaving and deflecting of attacks but also counter moves and offensive surges aimed to defeat the enemy. So I have a very simple outline for us today. First, we're going to look at defense, what to watch out for, that's verses 17 and 18. And then we'll look at offense, how to beat back the devil. And third, look at the victory assured in verse 20. So verse 17 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings you have learned. Keep away from them. Friends, in times of warfare, there's a continual call for vigilance in the church. The enemy may attack at any time, so we must be ready and watching for his ways. And how do we know what his ways are? We can learn a lot from history. As we look back at that very first temptation of the devil in the Garden of Eden, Satan used some temptation strategies that he still uses today. But one that he says is that he contradicts what God said. Let me set the stage here. He comes into the garden as a serpent, and he talks to Eve, and he says, is it true that you can't eat of any tree? So at first he's muddying the waters. He's saying, he's overstating what God had said. He just said you can't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says, can't you eat of anything? Is God withholding all this good stuff from you? And Eve responds sort of well. She says, no, we can eat of the trees of the garden, but just one tree we can't eat or even touch. So she starts to add a little extra to what God had said. And then Satan contradicts God. He says, well, on this, if you eat this fruit, you're not going to die. Surely you won't die, but rather you're going to be like God. So he lies. And Eve and Adam believe the devil, and they fall for it. And that is the fall of humanity. As our first parents fell from a stage of grace into a broken world, so the world has created to be continued to be broken up into our present day. So, Paul reminds the church in every age, watch out. Watch out for this ancient enemy. Romans 16, Paul gives a couple of specific things to watch out for. Watch out for those who will come into the church and cause divisions and create obstacles, he says. Now, if you remember a couple chapters ago, back in chapter 14, we had some similar language, but this was in chapter 14 directed against the strong and the weak of faith. So they had a common faith in Jesus Christ, yet some said, you know what, we can eat anything. And some said, no, we shouldn't eat everything. There are some things we should avoid. And some said, well, every day is the same. And some said, no, one day is a little bit more special than others. And Paul says to them in these secondary matters, don't put any obstacles or stumbling blocks between each other. But here he's warning about those outside the church who do not have the common faith, and they come in and they are creating divisions and obstacles. Paul reminds us the church must be united. We have one foundation of Jesus Christ, and we aspire to praise God with one voice and with one mind. And unity is a big deal for the gospel. There is one Savior, one Lord, one church. But Satan's goal is the opposite. He wants disunity. Now, what kind of unity or disunity are we talking about? Well, it's not that of secondary matters. Paul has said we can disagree on those matters, but what we are united on is this gospel teaching. He says that these people are going to come in and teach you contrary to what you've already learned. So they're going to be presenting a false message. Well, we need to watch out for the disunity on primary things. So what are some of those primary things? Well, the authority of Scripture is one, that we do not budge on that. We do not budge on the atonement of Christ on the cross, on his saving work, or on the reality of the empty grave. These are things that are fundamental that we hold in common that we do not allow people to dissuade us from. On secondary issues, you know, matters of translation or style of music, well, we have our preferences, we have our opinions of what the best is, but we're also able to bend on those and say, you know what, I can lay my preference aside and together We're going to be listening and obeying God's holy word and joining together in praise with all that we have. So Paul says there's disunity that we're to watch out for, and he even says avoid those who promote it. Right after 16 verses of greetings and welcome and everybody's wonderful here, let's get along, he says these false teachers, avoid them. Don't welcome them. Don't put up with them. Don't say, you can be here. They say, no, you can't be here because you're deceiving the naive. You're deceiving those who are young in their faith. You're teaching them something contrary to what Jesus and the apostles have taught. And therefore, those who are strong in the faith, those who are charged with guarding the church and the purity of the church, are to avoid them. Say, you're not welcome here. Well, why is this on the spiritual mature? Well, just like parents are responsible for their kids and as best to guard what goes into their minds and hearts, as so as a church, we also need to have those who are discerning and wise and able to evaluate messages and the sub-messages, the hidden messages, to catch all that is running contrary to God's word and reject it. Friends, this is an important message because as technology advances in leaps and bounds, so does deceptions and the trickiness of deceptions. I mean, just in this past year, it seems, I've started to hear about AI. This is a new thing, at least in my experience, to interact with a computer that you can have a conversation with. It's incredible. It's a breakthrough of technology, and yet the deception is also increased by that, too. And you see people using that to manipulate, to put words in people's mouths that are not true. And then we see that so often in this age that so much deception can come through the internet. And so it's also a good little time to remind the congregation that cybercrime does try to infiltrate our church too. So if you ever get a text or an email that claims to be from me, but it's not my phone number, or it doesn't sound like me, and I'm saying I'm busy in a prayer meeting, but could you send me a gift card? That was not for me, okay? I would not do that. Pick up the phone, call the church number, call my cell phone number if you're suspicious, because they do. It's scary. It's scary how much deception there is out there. But I myself, along with a lot of other pastors, are concerned that people are being deceived by what they read on the internet, by the spiritual guidance that they get from these people who we're not really sure who they are or what their agenda is. And so we need to be careful and make sure we have a live community, real people who can help us discern. Because is there good stuff on the internet? Absolutely. There's gold in there, but there's also a lot of fool's gold. And so we need to be discerning on what is right and what is wrong. So how can we do that? Well, I think we need to know some of the strategy the devil likes to use. For many years growing up, I'd heard of the 5 D's of the devil. I think I've probably shared them once or twice in the congregation through the years. But as I read this passage, I thought we need to add 2 more. So I'm going to give you 7 D's of the devil. And these are just common strategies that the devil likes to use to derail us from God's mission, to just to keep us off course and disunified. That's actually one of them. So let's go through here. Doubt, right? That's what Satan whispered to Eve. Did God really say? So he tries to get us to doubt God's word. Or discouragement. One of the names of Satan is a slanderer. He attacks us. He attacks our character. At any means possible, he wants us to lose heart in following Christ. Distraction. We all know this one. You know, here's something you probably should do, but you know, before you go and obey God and share the gospel or do good for your neighbor, you know, you really need to check your email right now. You really need to scroll on social media because that other stuff can wait. We get distracted, and then we forget what we're supposed to be doing. We lose track of what God has called us to do. Or defeat. Satan loves to accuse us and say, well, you've already messed up, you've already blown your chances, you might as well just give up. Here we are, another one here is delay. Well, okay, this is where you know what you're going to do, but you don't need to do it right now, right? It's you're committed to obey God, but first let me sow my wild oats when I'm young. I'll go into the mission field later in life. I'll get serious about my faith when I'm in college. You know, we delay it. We say we're going to get around to that, and then we just keep delaying it. Another one is division. This is the one that I added because it's right here in Romans 16. It says, watch out for those who cause division. This is against the unity of Christ. We're having brothers and sisters fighting at each other and splitting apart, becoming ineffective. And then I think I have one more here, deception. Satan is the father of lies. He is the deceiver. Romans 16 says, by their smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Satan is the master of half-truths, of misdirection, saying what sounds good, smooth talk, it sounds right, but it's in the wrong direction. It's got the wrong motivation. And so, church, we need to keep a sharp eye on these seven ways that Satan commonly seeks to destroy people and churches so we can spot them, right? And avoid the damage that could come. So a good defense is important. We need to avoid these spiritual attacks. But the church is more than just defense. We also want to go on the offense. We want to gain ground for the kingdom of God. We want to beat back the devil. So that's my second point as we turn to verse 19 here. It says, everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. With constant dangers for the church to be divided and tripped up in their faith and leave the teaching of Jesus, Paul says he's rejoicing the church in Rome is known for obedience. Obedience is not a defensive position. It's an offensive strategy. And isn't obedience what we want to be known for in God's book, that we obeyed what he told us to do? And I do. I rejoice with this congregation that you will have a reputation for obeying the Lord, for taking a stand for God's word and doctrine, not compromising in the shifting cultures, and also by overcoming evil with good. Over the summer, we did a summer of service, and we had testimony after testimony of this congregation, how they are living out in obedience to God what he has told us to do, to feed those who need clothing, to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to care for prisoners, to care for the homeless, just to care for one another. That is something that we obey, and as we do, we extend God's kingdom. Paul's desire is that this church in Rome is known for their obedience, and that they would be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. Isn't that every parent's desire, that their kids would be wise and practiced about all things good, that they would know good inside and out and be known for doing good, and innocent about what is evil, that they wouldn't know their way around how to be deceptive or cunning, or that they wouldn't have ever experienced that and would be unknown? Well, wouldn't that be nice? That is the goal, and that the reality is we're not innocent. We're not innocent about evil. We understand it all too well. And that good, well, we are a little bit under practice sometimes in doing good. So how are we to live this out? How are we to live out this epitome that Paul is setting before us, that the church should be wise in doing good and innocent about evil? Well, I think it goes back to that foundational statement that Paul made in Romans 12:2. Telling us about the transforming work of Christ on the cross for our behalf. And I think I have a slide for this too. Here we are. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what it is good and acceptable and perfect. Friends, by the new birth of the resurrection of Jesus, our old sin nature is now forgiven, and we have been given the Holy Spirit to remake us. We are to work with the Holy Spirit to resist being pressed into the mold of this world, falling into those seven D's of the devil, but instead, positively, offensively, to be transformed by the renewal of our minds, allowing God's word, his truth, his beauty to bring life and joy and peace to our wills, to our passions, to our discernment, that we might obey God's word. As a church, we are able now to resist the devil, and he will flee. That's a promise of Scripture. After Adam and Eve sinned, all humanity was in a state of disobedience. We could not obey God. But now, as those who are born from above through faith in Jesus, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are being transformed so that we can reject evil and obey the will of God. So what used to be impossible is now possible for us. Obeying God is to overcome temptation and evil. That is not always easy. And yes, we do fail. But we can do it because God is remaking us so that we have a will to obey God, so we have the strength of the Spirit to obey. Maybe you say, I don't know if I really want to obey God. I'm pretty happy disobeying, just being content where I'm at. Well, a good prayer, my friends, is to start with, Lord, help me to want to obey you. Help me to have that desire in my heart, because even that desire is from God's gracious hand. Friends, we can obey God and grow in knowledge and experience of what is good. And as we do, we are being a light into the world, a light that drives out darkness so that we can beat back the devil through our obedience to God. So here's my outline again. Pretty simple, so we can all remember it, right? Defense, the Bible teaches us to what to avoid, what to watch out for as a church, the schemes of Satan. It talks about offense, how our obedience to God is building God's kingdom and spreading his light and truth into the world. But it also talks about victory. And in this battle, if our movie was being, or our church was being filmed in a movie, the outcome would be assured. Maybe there was even a flash forward of what is coming for us. And that's to encourage us that in the midst of the battle, when we're battling temptation, as we're standing against the wiles of the devil as a church, that God has already won the war, and victory is assured. Verse 20 says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan. The God of peace is also the God who bears the sword to destroy the troublemaker. God is a warrior, and he comes as judge and executioner. He will make all things right. The only way for there to be true and lasting peace is for evil to be totally eliminated, so that there are no more lies, no more deceptions, no more greed or lust, so that there is no more harm or abuse. The root of all evil and every evil desire and force will one day be totally eliminated by the God of peace. And that's why Jesus came. He came as the Prince of Peace, and he came to deal the death blow to Satan. On the cross, he defeated evil, and he won the victory for God's kingdom. He is the one who crushed Satan. Yet here we are with this verse that says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your, that is a church's, feet. Well, what's Paul talking about if that was already accomplished on the cross? Well, I think this language ties us back to Genesis, once again, Genesis 3:15, which is the first giving of the gospel, which reads this, and I will put enmity between you, that is the serpent and the woman, and between your offspring, the serpent's offspring, and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. So this ancient battle between Satan, which is pictured as a serpent in the garden, and the offspring of the woman, which we find out is Jesus Christ, who will crush the head of the serpent. This is being done. It has been done on the cross. As we fast forward to the book of Revelation, we see a final defeat of the ancient serpent, and he's thrown into the lake of fire. And yet, with that future victory, there is a place for the church, a place for the church to join in God's work. God's the one that is able to defeat the devil and has defeated the devil. And yet, he uses the church to step on the head of this Satan, this serpent. We are more than just bystanders to this ancient fight. We are with Jesus in achieving that victory over the evil one as we resist temptation and as we obey God. We are assured of final victory. So friends, let us be strong in our defenses. Let us be on guard against the deceitfulness of the devil. Let us be bold in our advances of God's kingdom. So friends, if you came to church hoping for a nice Thanksgiving message, you didn't get it. If you were hoping for a little bit of nostalgia, you came on the wrong Sunday. Paul wants us to know that we are on a mission to crush the head of a serpent and to put him under our feet. And he's not going down without a fight. It's going to be an all-out fight. So be aware of his schemes. Be watching out for your enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion. Watch out for him, but know that you are not powerless, church. You have the power of God who has already won the victory, working in you and through you to do what he has said he would accomplish. So maybe you're here today broken and feeling hopeless in the world. Friends, you are part of the victor's side. You are part of Jesus's victory that he has already accomplished. And you have been filled with his love and power to go forth and to spread that into this world of brokenness. Maybe you came today just needing to hear a simple message of forgiveness. And that is part of the gospel too. All your sins have been forgiven on the cross. You have been cleansed and you stand forgiven as a child of God. If you need to talk to myself or one of the elders about what is happening in your own heart this morning, know that we're always here for you. We would love to have that conversation, to pray with you, to explain how God has been active in our lives, that we might encourage one another. For friends, we are in an action film, but we already know the end, and God has won. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks that you have won the victory on our behalf, because on our own, we were already dead and lost in our transgressions and sins, and we were hopeless. But you came. You came in Jesus Christ. You came and you took on our sins and you defeated the devil's schemes on the cross. And that empty grave is a forever sign of your victory for us. And now we live as those who are between the times, as those who are standing forgiven and yet waiting for your final victory and defeat of evil forever. And you have called us to join you in the battle. So protect us by your spiritual armor. Protect us by your bringing us into the church so we can watch out one for another, and cause us to be wise in doing good and innocent about evil. Keep transforming us, Lord, day by day into your image. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.